Hi, this is Ned Siegfried from Siegfried & Jensen. As proud sponsors of BeliefCast, we hope you are inspired by Todd's weekly podcasts, which contain so many courageous stories of recovery and personal growth. Remember, it's not what happened in the past that matters, it's what happens in the future. We invite you all to work hard and be optimistic about your future. Enjoy today's podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Todd Sylvester with the Todd Inspires BeliefCast. As always, thank you so much for all your support and your belief in me. Thank you to our sponsors, Wasatch Recovery, Siegfried & Jensen, Thread Wallets, and Mori Nutrition. You guys are so wonderful for believing in me and helping me in this cause. So thank you for supporting that. And then again, tuning in week after week and you guys sharing these episodes with people that you know and love means the world to me. If you have any suggestions that I can make this better, I'm open to feedback always. But I'm grateful once again to have an amazing person on the show today. I know this handsome young man's family, and his name's Easton Allred. Easton, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. I'm stoked to be on the podcast.
Yeah, stoked to have you here. Easton has an amazing story. He's been through a lot in his life, more than most kids his age have been through. But to see how he's pushed through it and doing good things with it, and you know, I had his mom on the podcast just a few weeks ago. Her episode goes live in a few days. I'm gonna have your sister on too. And I was saying this before. I just really admire the way your whole family dynamic is, and the way you guys support each other, push each other, challenge each other, and it just, I think it's pretty rare, honestly, to see that on in this setting. So thank you for, you know, what you guys do and being an example to all of us.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm so lucky to be a part of that group. Obviously, my family's incredible and definitely very inspired by my siblings and brother-in-law's parents, all around a good place to be.
Yeah. Well, a little background on Easton. He's currently a senior at BYU studying advertising and entrepreneurship. He's very passionate about personal development, health, and you know, creating businesses and things like that. You were a top long-distance runner in NCAA class before suffering some, you know, various surgeries and a mysterious illness, which we're going to talk more about. And I think we're going to bring more awareness around that for people. If I'm reading this right, you have a PR in the mile under 4 minutes.
Yes, it's a little bit of a cheater because it's a converted PR, meaning I ran at a high altitude. So NCAA automatically knocks off 5 seconds. So it's a 3:59, and since I got injured and never got to run it again, I count it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 3:59, that's insane.
I'll take it.
Do you know the story of Roger Bannister?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a very popular story. Yeah. But I love the pop, what that did is how it changed the belief in the world that, oh, I guess we can run that fast. And here you are doing it. Mm-hmm. You had to, you know, end your running career, it sounds like, because of this illness and stuff. But again, you're trying to find better ways to make the world better, to help others from suffering from chronic illness. And you're just, you know, again, an all-around good person who's trying to make this world a better place. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely trying. We'll see how we get there.
Yeah. So why don't we let our listeners know a little bit about you growing up, talk about your childhood, talk about maybe some things that you learned and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So growing up, as I was thinking about this, looking at the questions, I grew up very passionate. Like I would say, like more than anything, I just was like a passionate kid. And I think,
yeah,
you know, most kids when they're growing up, they're just playing, having fun, doing their thing. And for whatever reason, I knew what I wanted and I just like would kind of go after it. So I listened to some podcasts. There were self-help podcasts that maybe my mom or my grandma had showed me, and I just got super fired up about them. So I was literally 10 years old, like not eating sugar anymore and like training for basketball and just like kind of going towards like whatever goals I had. So, yeah, like when I was 14, I started a podcast. When I was 16, I wrote a book, and then, you know, all those things got me into running, basketball, and just super invested in whichever passion I was going for. And that's kind of, you know, the attitude that I grew up with.
Again, pretty rare for, you know, a young kid to be that, I guess, dedicated, if you will. I mean, every kid's out there doing their thing at that age, but man, you're kind of like, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
Did that just come just naturally? That's just who you were, or did you get some guidance in that, or?
Yeah, I mean, definitely guided in the way that that resources were shown to me. You know, I think just being able to listen to some really digestible podcasts for like a young kid that were just like, hey, like if you set your mind to something and you like write down your goals, like I'd write down like 10 goals every day. It's like, if you like really want something, like you can totally just like go and get it. And that was such a cool concept to me. I was like, oh, like, wow, like I can dream big and I can go achieve things. And this is exciting and this is fun. And I think when you're young, there's no stress behind having a goal, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just like the world is just big and it's exciting.
The other thing about being a child too is you don't necessarily have these limiting beliefs that are holding you back either.
Absolutely.
You just, you heard that and you're going, oh, is that all I got to do? Yeah. You just believed it. Is that fair to say? And then you wrote these things down and like, this is where I'm going.
Totally. Totally. So I'm in a lot of entrepreneurship classes at BYU right now.
Okay.
And we learn about this concept of entrepreneurship where if you're really knowledgeable about the risks you have ahead, you're actually way less likely to start a business. And when you do start a business, you're way more likely to fail than if you just jump in the water with the sharks, have no idea what's there, you know, because as you get in the water and you try to figure out how to swim and you just keep going. And entrepreneurship is like that. Like you just need to do things to figure it out. And you don't even realize how hard it's going to be until you're in it. But if you knew how hard it was going to be, you'd never do it in the first place. So that's a complicated way of saying that naivety is sometimes a really good thing. And just jumping in and figuring things out is sometimes a really good thing.
Absolutely right. So you mentioned you started a podcast at, was it 14?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's bold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was awesome. I interviewed people that inspired me and, again, it was entrepreneurs. It was people who were making a difference in the world through philanthropy and athletics and just different cool things. And, you know, I just was trying to figure out like what I was curious about and passionate about. And that was a really good way to have an outlet.
Yeah. And again, you had the belief, well, I can do this. I'm just going to go do it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, why not?
And you even said it like you didn't have the stress behind it so much. It was just like, oh, I'm going to do a podcast. Right.
Totally.
And then at 16, you wrote a book. Mm-hmm. So talk about that process and what, you know, let us know what the book is and what it's about and why did you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like acquired a good bit of knowledge by the time I was 16.
It sounds
in the self-help world. Like I just read so many books about it. And I think at the time I was homeschooled. Actually, no, I guess online school. I did online school.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of time to just like throw into reading about this kind of stuff. So I'd read tons of books, I'd listened to tons of podcasts, and I, you know, had my own podcast. And so I just like wanted to write from my perspective to like other kids about like all the things I learned and how it applies now. And it was just like all my really simple takes on personal development and how to best live your life in a positive habit way, I guess is the best way to put it. So it was like tips, tricks, and skills for teens was kind of the caption there.
Yeah. So how did you do that? Like, did you research how to write a book? I mean, I've written a book, but it was way later in my life. I can't imagine trying. I mean, I'm thinking about what I was doing at 16 and writing a book was definitely not on my mind. How did you figure that out?
Yeah. I think it kind of goes towards like the mindset that I had. It was just like, let's throw things at the wall. And it was very imperfect. It still is very imperfect. But I just did it. So I knew somebody that had written a book and I just called him and I said, hey, like, I just like have all of these things that I'm passionate about and that I really want to write about. I don't know if people like want to read it, but I just really want to write it. And he just told me his process, which is he just got a ton of sticky notes and he just wrote down everything that he wanted to write about, like everything that was important to him that he wanted in his book. And I did the same thing. And, you know, after about having 80 or 100 sticky notes, I was like, okay, let's organize these into categories and like what would be chapters. And then I kind of elaborated from there and wrote the book.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah. What was the name of the book again?
Fueled.
Fueled.
Fueled. Yeah.
Wow. And is it available where people can get this?
Yeah. It's on Amazon still.
It's on Amazon. So people can go to Amazon, type in Fueled and Easton Allred.
16-year-old Easton, you'll get his wisdom.
Wow. That's impressive. That's really impressive. And then, you know, as life goes on, you know, you go to school. When did you discover that you were this crazy, insane, amazing runner.
Oh man. Like, well, thank you.
It's one thing to go run, but it's another thing to realize, you know what, man, there's like, cause it got to a point where you had a chance to maybe even go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that journey for a minute.
Yeah. So I started out in basketball. That's really where like kind of my story begins. And I just love that sport. And I really gave like everything to it. Like it was the type of thing where in elementary school, like I talked to the principal and he like let me in the school early to like go and like use the gym to like practice before school. And then I'd practice after school. And it's like, I had just such little natural talent in basketball. I have no hops and I don't have a great jump shot, but I just practiced a ton and I loved it. And I think that like my fitness through like doing basketball just like really developed. And then also like I had really good eating habits from, you know, the time I was really young, and combined with some natural blessings, perhaps I was pretty good at it. And so I was on a basketball team where the coach wanted us to stay fit. So he'd have all the athletes go and run 2 miles every week and report back to the coach on what our times were. So I'd go run my 2 miles. I would report back to coach and I would run it on like really hilly, like trails outside my house. And the first time I sent it to my coach, he goes, "This isn't right. Like you need to redo it and like send it to me again." And so I was like, okay. So I was like, shoot, like maybe my like watch is off. Like, so I just like did it again, but then I had the same time or like maybe even faster. Oh, and so I was like, I'm just gonna like add a minute. And then, so I like added a minute or two to it. And then my teammates were like starting to see like what times I was running. And these kids are all way faster than me when it comes to sprints on the basketball court. Yeah. So like they're all, none of them believe me. So I just start adding like 3 minutes, 4 minutes to my times. And they're still like quite a bit faster than the other people's times. So I just was like, oh my gosh, like maybe I'm good at this or maybe my watch is really off. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
And then I would run some race. I signed up for middle school cross country. I never went to the practices, but I would go and run the races. And I was pleasantly surprised to find that my watch wasn't off and that I was pretty good at it. So
that's funny. The coach was like, "This is wrong. Go run it again. Yeah. This can't be right."
Yeah, literally, like no one believed me. So I was like, this is something right here. This is
and awesome. Then did you notice too that, man, I actually love doing this?
Oh, I loved it. I had so much fun. Yeah, it's like, and I remember I played a little bit of tennis growing up as well.
Yeah.
And I would just get so excited every time they like asked us to get on the treadmill, which is pretty rare. They never had us do that. But I loved running whenever I had the chance. And I loved the pacer growing up, which I guess is sort of unnatural. But it just felt like a fun way to push myself and be competitive. Yeah. And I think everyone likes to win. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, I love that. You know, talking about, again, you have some amazing things that you developed as a kid, very young, that most kids I don't think do, to be quite honest. We probably can give a ton of credit to your parents.
Absolutely.
And I know this is a big question, but what were some of the biggest lessons that you learned, you know, just growing up with the way your parents kind of raised you and some of the things they had you work on, and especially when it comes to believing in yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I think that my answer would change between now and then.
Yeah.
But I think then, like the main lesson that I took from them is like, if you want something, you can go do it. Like, you don't have to do the traditional pathway of like going to, you know, middle school and then high school and then college and then getting a 9-to-5 job. They were like, you can create, and actually you can create now if you want to. And so like I had my YouTube channel and my podcast and my book, and I was like making money and I was like running well, and like things were really good because I just like set myself up really well because I just believed that I could do anything. Like I felt very limitless in possibility.
Yeah.
And I think they taught me that anything was possible.
Wow. What a great message for parents to teach their children, right? And it almost sounds like, okay, we know anything's possible, but man, you're one who took that to heart. Again, 10 years old, you stop eating sugar, you start listening to podcasts, you start like, you were even courageous enough to call someone, "Hey, how'd you write your book?"
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I just think back, I'm being honest, like I would have been afraid to call someone and ask them that question, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But yet were you ever nervous on those kind of things, or did you always find yourself just being really confident in everything that you were doing?
Oh man. I'm sure there was like some level of nerve. I don't recall that so much, but I can say that now, I mean, a lot, and we'll get into this later, but a lot in my life has changed since that like early time period where everything was really simple.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that now, like, things absolutely make me nervous. And sometimes it like prevents me from doing things. But I also think whenever I feel like scared by something, like this is something I did learn when I was younger, I like try to go at it. And I think I did that too when I was younger. Yeah. Like if something really scared me, I was like, okay, like that's a really good thing that I should go and figure out.
Yeah.
Because those things hold you back a lot. And when you just, I think when you actually look something head on and like approach it, you realize it's not as big as it looks.
Yeah.
So anyways, I've tried to live with that.
What's blowing me away is how as amazing that all is that you would have the mindset to understand that at such a young age, right? Like, I feel like I'm still trying to learn that at my age.
Totally. Yeah.
That to me is the most amazing part, is that you just, you know what? This makes me a little nervous. I'm going to go attack it. I just think that's rare, especially being so young.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel really lucky to have like had the resources that I had. And I think when I look back at my story, I recognize that it's atypical, and I don't think that everyone needs that as like a young kid. You know, I think it's important to learn eventually.
Yeah. And I think it's just a good lesson that we can all get there. Some of us take a little longer, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So things are cooking along and you're realizing you're doing all these great things, but then let's talk about, you know, you're getting ready to, I mean, you're running at BYU, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Was this before the illness in the very beginning, before things, you know, started getting really challenging for you?
Yeah. So the timeline is a little funky. So okay. I ran in middle school, ran in high school, like found a lot of success in my sophomore and junior year. And then my senior year, mid junior year, I got really, really sick. Like I got the flu and it was just like out for a couple of days. But then I stopped throwing up, but then the flu symptoms stayed. And I was like, okay, like this is crazy, because normally like the one thing that gets you through that much like pain of being the flu is like, it's 2 days long, I'm going to be fine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, this is horrible, but it's almost over. So when I was, you know, a week into this, I'm just like, holy crap, like this is so gnarly. And it never went away for like years. And it thankfully ebbed and flowed and wasn't constantly like that severe, but quite often it honestly was.
Mm.
And, I was really lucky to be able to run through that. I'd actually feel better sometimes when I ran, like I'd be really nauseous and then I'd start running and then I'd feel okay. And I think that was, you know, that was a really lucky thing to have.
Yeah.
And then I started, you know, going on this like medical journey, and halfway through my freshman year, BYU, I had a surgery that didn't go very well, and it made it so that I was unable to stand for very long. And so I haven't been able to run since then.
But. Wow. So thank you for sharing that. But I know there's a lot of in between stuff that I'd like to get into, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, here's this kid who just believes he can do anything, and you're I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that. And things are going your way, but you're not by accident, but because you're putting in effort and you're working hard, and you get hit with this. And if you could describe maybe what that is, so our listeners can understand what you're actually dealing with, 'cause you didn't know it at first, but you do now.
Totally.
How, just talk about not only the physical pain you were feeling, but the mental and the emotional toil that was taken on you.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I have is arguable. I don't know that I have it fully defined.
Oh, okay.
It's like what's going on with my
gotcha.
Body, but
okay.
Largely I think it falls under the umbrella of dysautonomia. So like nervous system dysfunction.
Okay.
So, basically originally my main symptoms were just horrible, horrible nausea that, mm-hmm. you know, never seemed to go away. And then also like a very strong mental health tie. So just, you know, went from being a really happy, motivated, like perfectly healthy kid to just being like so anxious, so depressed, and so nauseous.
Yeah.
And also really bad back pain randomly. But
yeah.
Just, you know, light switch, just out. And that continued for a really long time.
So again, I can't even imagine what that was like, because again, it's almost like you're on top of the world and now all of a sudden it feels like it's crashing in on you.
Mm-hmm.
I know your family's, you guys are faithful people. You believe in a higher power, God, and that kind of thing. And, did that challenge that for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you mind sharing a little bit about that? Cause I think people that are listening to us right now, you know, have been in those places where, man, I'm doing all these good things. Why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, everything I believed in changed. Everything. I think that, you know, when you're going through something that's physically very painful, you rely on your mental to keep you in it.
Yeah,
but
right.
My mental was taken out by this as well. So I lost like every resource that I had to like fight it. And even I had just like random running injuries then too. So I couldn't run. I couldn't rely on God. I couldn't rely on like meditation or like any other like positive coping mechanism that I could think of. And so, I grew up a member of the Latter-day Saint faith and you know, felt a strong tie to God.
Yeah.
And I grew up believing that God wouldn't allow his children to feel a certain amount of pain,
sure.
After some threshold, surely there is mercy and you will not be able to feel that much. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but I truly did not understand that things could be this painful. Like I truly didn't understand that like my body could be experiencing the amount of pain I was feeling for such a sustained amount of time without being like dead or passed out or like anything.
Yeah.
And I know that's so dramatic, but it's truly how I felt. It was,
no, sure.
It was so brutal. So I did a lot of prayer and pleading to just like have comfort through that time. And for those who are listening who are spiritual, I think spirituality is really difficult in times of mental health. And so I lost that connection. That was a really hard time to lose that along with everything else. And I stopped believing in everything that I wrote about in my book because life was no longer as simple. So I had a lot of relearning and rebuilding and
talk about that, because it kind of just it wiped out, for lack of a better word, the belief system that you had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that powerful belief system, God is good, God's got my back, you know, I've got these skill sets, man, I know if I want something, I'm gonna go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And do you ever, I mean, you probably know now, but back then, were you just going, why?
Mm-hmm.
Were you just questioning like, why am I going, after all this effort I've put in over here to get to where I'm at such a young age, did you ever go like, why is this the thing?
You know, I never asked why me, because I just felt like I grew up so blessed. Like I've got a good family, like to be able to have the talent that I had in running was like so incredible.
Yeah.
Like I never felt like why me. I kind of felt like why anyone? like why should anyone have to feel this?
Sure.
You know, and it just so happened to be me in that position. But I think that what did also feel quite unfortunate is like the timing in my life that's happening. Like high school to college and like forming your beliefs in that time period is really crucial. And I just didn't understand why it needed to happen when I was like at the, what felt like a really great position.
Yeah.
And in a very, you know, changing time.
Right. Talk about like, how bad did it get, you know, on the emotional and mental side? Was it ever to the point where you're like, man, I don't want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind sharing this thought? I know that's heavy stuff to talk about, but.
And honestly, I was really hesitant to share these things until I like put more distance from it. But I think thankfully it's been long enough and there's been enough healing where I feel comfortable talking about it. But
thank you.
I think, you know, there's several chapters of my illness. And I would say I was sick for 2 years. And what marked a change in chapter is when I got a diagnosis.
Mm.
And those 2 years before a diagnosis were so hard because I'm experiencing all these things. My family's moving. I switched high schools because we moved a bunch. So I was on my third high school.
Oh wow.
And I didn't even like really go to school full time because I was still kind of doing the online thing.
Yeah.
But just a really hard time of life to be that sick, and nobody understood why, because I couldn't tell them. I didn't have a name for it, and doctors were just telling me I was anxious, or that or that there was nothing wrong with me. All my blood work was perfect. So I was gaslighting myself. Like I was just like,
and you're like, excuse me.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, I don't believe you, but also like, is this in my head? Like I don't know. It just really trips you out. But, I got to a point where I was like, I can no longer sustain like this level of pain. Like I'm not even 20 years old yet.
Yeah.
I've got probably another 50 years of my life at least, or who knows. And I cannot do this for 50 more years. Like it's in, 2 years when you're young feels like a really big trend,
Right,
like that feels like a lot, like a large portion of your life. When
for
you're
sure.
Young.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this is my life and I can't do this anymore. Like I don't even know if I can make it till tomorrow. So like 2 years down the road, 5 years down the road, it is impossible. Yeah. And so kind of like what I had thought in my mind is like, I'm going to give this like another month of just like enduring like as much as I can. And then like, I don't have a choice. Like I'm doing whatever drugs I can get a hold of and like, just like masking this. And like, I don't care if I like, can't be like present in my life or if I have to be like distant, like I can no longer be in this state. And that was like a really like sobering realization. And then I was like, if the drugs don't work, like obviously like I just like felt suicidal after that point. Like I was like, there's just nothing after that. I can't live like this. And I think, just in the nick of time before I was ready to kind of give it all up is when I had that last doctor's appointment that the doctor said, hey, I think you have this. And then I said, I can hang on to that. I said, I don't have all the answers, but I can hang on to something.
Wow. It's interesting, like just not knowing what it is and doctors just saying, hey, it's just anxiety or, you're just making this up. Probably had to felt so defeating. First of all, you're like, no, I'm not. You're basically telling me I'm crazy and I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm in pain. So probably, again, very refreshing finally for some doctor to go, here's what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you got.
Absolutely.
And it probably feeling, oh, fine. Yeah, I'm not going crazy. Mm-hmm. Is that part of it?
For sure. For sure. And there's something to be said to where you go and you speak to someone that's highly educated and you've been referred to them by somebody, you have your hopes up. And then when someone that has, a really strong degree in medical school comes to you and says, I can't fix you, then you just start to believe that you can't be fixed.
Yeah.
And that's really, really heavy. And then when that happens 20 times over, it's even heavier.
Yeah.
And so to have someone say, hey, I think you have, it was Mals at first is what they thought I had.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, if it's not Mals, like what you have is for sure like under this category. And like, I think that I knew in that moment that I wasn't going to have like all the answers like right away. Like I knew I wasn't going to be better that day.
Yeah.
I knew that it was going to take 6 months to get into doctors to have a surgery that might work. But I was like, I can make it to that point.
Yeah. Wow. So that was kind of how long ago was that doctor's appointment, if you will?
Oh, so that was probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 3 years and you've been on this journey since then, trying to get back, not only physically dealing with what you're dealing with, but again, how you said you lost the mental game, the spiritual game, like all this stuff felt like it had kind of gone away. Talk about how you've been trying to cultivate that back into, your life again and has it and where are you at now?
Yeah. So I would say I'm very close to who I was now. I'm so changed as well and have a lot more history and perspective on things, but I'm back to sort of a similar belief system that I first started with that has a lot more perspective, but it took me so much time.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting there. I'm still getting there. And I think that it was just one foot in front of the other for years. Yeah. And like PTSD and like trauma is like hard to overcome.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And I think that I did a good job of like not forcing myself to feel a certain way, not forcing myself to believe any certain thing. Yeah. And I know this isn't important for everybody that listens to your podcast, but Christianity was really important to me.
Sure.
And I wanted to give it a shot again. And so after I had my first surgery, I felt mental clarity. And so I was like, now that I feel like this clarity, I would like to give this a shot again. And I didn't read any Latter-day Saint content. Like I just started with simple Christian content.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't even know if I believed in it, but I recognized that I felt better listening and reading and doing that. So I started there. And then with self-help, like, oh my gosh, I would have thrown up if I would have read a self-help book at that time.
Right.
Because self-help just makes it seem it's like A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
And my life was not that.
Right.
Like I couldn't set goals anymore. I couldn't set running goals because I didn't know if I'd be able to run the next week.
Yeah.
And like everything in my life was so much harder and so much less direct that like self-help just felt like a joke.
Right.
and so I think that I just have had to take things one step at a time. And as I've been ready, I've kind of adapted new things that have been useful. And that's been really helpful.
Wow. Dude, I'm just impressed and just kind of blown away. Just here you are sitting here today and talking with us and just the journey you've been on. And to, like you said, kind of like quote unquote rebuilding yourself, and you're still working on stuff, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, now that you're here, and you know, I know you're passionate about things.
Yeah, and well said.
And maybe things have changed now a little bit too, and your passions have changed. What clarity have you gained through this trial, if you will? Like, what does it look like for you now?
Yeah, so many things. And I appreciate you asking me that question. Deseret News did an article, and it was. Kind of them to do an article, but they focus a lot of just like what had happened in terms of like the diagnosis and the process. And the story is so much bigger than that.
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Because like my story is not a sob story. It's there are sad things about it, and it is hard. And like life is hard. People have hard lives and people go through hard things. And like that absolutely exists in my story, but there is like so much that I've gained and that I hope to like share with other people through it as well. You know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of those things is that sometimes life is like a little bit more complicated than A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you give up those other principles. And I think that like through that journey, I've learned the importance of persistent and consistent effort. You know, running for BYU, the coach there is one of the best coaches in the world. He just had two guys qualify for the Olympics, actually.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they're phenomenal, and he's phenomenal. And his most infamous coaching statement is, oh goodness, I don't know if I can remember right now, but basically the concept is like consistent effort that is adequate will lead to incredible results. You don't have to be incredible every single day. You just got to like be consistent in being adequate.
Yeah. I like
that. And I think I believe in that for my life is like, you can't do it all every single day.
Right.
But if you can just like put in what you can and be really good at doing that every day, you'll get to a good spot. And then I feel so passionate about many things, including just like having hope and like not giving up. Like I think one thing I learned in that journey is giving up is really quite useless, you know? And when you're like in the thick of it, giving up just like somehow puts you deeper than you already are, even if you don't think you can go any deeper. Like that's just like what giving up does. So if you just like choose to like stay positive and keep fighting, it's like more effort for sure, but the results are just so necessary. And it's your only option. It's not great, but it's your only option.
Yeah.
And you know, I have many more things to say, but I think that's a good start.
Yeah. And again, cause you were getting to that point though, like I'm going to give this one more month because I don't want to endure this for 50 years. It's impossible, let alone another 3 months even.
Yeah.
And again, but then you had that diagnosis and finally some hope.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what we can do kind of thing. And so what a great perspective now, right? To be able to see that, you know, what are your plans now? Like, you know, you've written a book before. Have you ever thought of writing another book?
Yeah.
And maybe you're writing one right now. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't feel ready for my second book yet. I hope that that day comes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's today, but I would love to go back and like chronicle this journey. I think I'm still too much in the chapters to write about it right
now. Gotcha. Makes sense.
But I'm looking forward to that one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a senior at BYU. I graduate in April. So
congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I'm working on an app right now, actually.
Oh, nice.
My buddies and I developed like a gaming platform that allows you to use your phone as the controller and you just like run it through a console. So if you ever, or a computer, so you don't have to have a console.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you ever played Jackbox games, it's kind of like Jackbox games, but you can play like legitimate video games.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
Anyways. Yeah. So that's like a project I've been working on at BYU and
nice.
And, I'll hope to continue that and get venture funding, but I think we're a ways out from there right now. So, I'll just keep pursuing that. I'm really passionate about film and I don't have like a crystal clear vision of like what's next, but I know that it's really important to me that I find a way to like give back to this community of people who are going through something similar to me. And I think my mom may have said this on the podcast too, but it's like, that is like what I feel called for, you know, like there are so many great causes of people that are suffering and going through things.
Right.
And so many people need help, but this is like my position to help the world. And, I think that I'm still searching for the best way to do that, but it's an active search.
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll come to you and you'll figure that out. And I have this big belief, Easton, that life happens for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not know why when we're going through something, especially something really difficult like you had gone through and still are dealing with it. But I really believe there's reasons why. And maybe I'm just speaking out loud here. I don't want to, you know, tell you what you already maybe know, but you know, maybe you had to go through all that so you could be that, maybe that voice to those mm-hmm. that are still in the fire because you've been through the fire. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that when I was going through it, I spent a lot of time thinking about purpose and like why I was feeling certain things. And I think sometimes it was honestly helpful for me to just say like, you know what? I have no idea. I have no idea if there's purpose in this or if I'm just like experiencing it, but I am where I am.
Yeah.
I am where I am and I have like one choice, which is just to keep going, to like take some deep breaths and just give it my best. And I think that I really do believe in the concept that like life happens for you.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we get too caught up in trying to recognize how.
Mm.
So that's kind of my take there.
Yeah, man, you're wise for your age, my friend. Seriously, that's powerful.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. You know, what does your day look like? Like, how do you keep yourself centered? Are there people in your life that you look up to, you lean on? Is it family members? Is it someone you read this guy's book or this woman's book that you know, this person kind of helped me through some of these things? Do you pray every day? I mean, how do you conduct yourself right now?
Yeah. So my health is like in an interesting spot right now. Like I'm in a great spot in comparison to where I was, but I still am dealing with it. And one thing that is still true is true for all people that have what I have is like, because our nervous systems are like a little bit more sensitive. Like if I get a little bit anxious, I'll get like so sick. And so like,
okay.
I have to be elite at like keeping everything in check.
Right.
And so I think that what's true for other people is true times 10 for me. And so, maybe I'm in a good spot to recognize what does and doesn't work. And I think what I'm like realizing is, you know, these are simple things, but I think they're really useful. It's like, I cannot be on my phone before bed. Like I cannot be on my phone before bed. Like I got to have like 30 minutes to like read, wind down and like go to sleep. And kind of like the same when you wake up, like get outside, get some sunlight and then like go do your day. And then I like really lean on like those two routines to like keep me well.
Okay.
And I think that everyone is like that, but I don't think that everyone notices it as much as like I have to notice it.
Yeah. You got to be more hyper aware of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like the times are like that I go to bed and like wake up are pretty consistent. And I lean on really good people. Like I've always been fairly extroverted and I've always like recognized that keeps me afloat. And so like, even when I was like really going through when I was sick, like I would just have people come over, I'd go over somewhere else and I wouldn't even talk to them because I just was sick, but I just go lay on their couch. And I have people that are like willing to be that for me.
That's awesome.
And, I'm just grateful to be surrounded by really good people for sure.
Well, and again, I know your family is a huge support. You guys are mm-hmm. close. You guys, you know, really help each other out in times of need, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what I've always admired about, you know, especially your mom. And I've always looked at her and go, man, who is that woman? She's amazing. You know?
Yeah. And, she's spectacular.
Right.
Sure.
And I know your dad is too. I just don't know your dad as well, but, you know, you guys have, you know, a great family. And I think in those times of struggle, it's great to have people that can rally around you, even though maybe it doesn't take away the pain, but man, it sure, it maybe at times makes it somewhat bearable
mm-hmm.
knowing that we've got people in our corner that love us and are there for us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I know you're well familiar with this, but it's just like, we're going to go through hard stuff. Like I'm going to go through hard stuff. You're going to go through hard stuff. Like all of us are.
Yeah.
And like one thing that I've like learned in the world of pain management is just not trying to get rid of that, you know?
Yeah.
And just being in it and just doing the best you can and getting good people around you and being in the pain is a great thing.
Yeah. That's well said. I love that. Well, you know, Easton, if there's someone listening to us right now, listening to you, who's in a dark place and they're struggling and they're not sure what to do, what advice could you give them right now? That one person, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would say like, I have no idea what their journey is going to be like. And they probably don't know what their journey is going to be like. But hopefully I've like dropped a little, like a few nuggets in there that are helpful to just keep in mind throughout that process. And I would just say like, there isn't use in like getting rid of hope. Like my mom would always, every time like there was any spark of hope, she'd get like really excited about it. And that was too much for me. I like to just like have a little bit that is more reasonable. Like, hey, like that could potentially work for me, but I don't know. I'm not going to be like so invested in it because I don't like the downs, but
right.
I just think get your habits and in place, get people around you that can support you and keep you afloat and, you know, get outside as much as you can. And even when things like feel like hopeless and dark, you just like have to keep the consistency of like what used to feel good, because one day it'll come back. And I think that for whatever reason in our lives, sometimes we are allowed to feel pain like just beyond like what we can handle. And I think that when you're in that really dark spot, you're probably closer than you think to a really happy life.
Mm.
And you just have to hang on for just that much longer.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really, really hard to imagine that like life can be like so vibrant and beautiful when you're depressed, but it can, and you're closer than you think.
Wow.
Is what I would probably say.
Yeah. Beautifully said. Wow. Thank you. Dang, that hit me right in the heart. Thank you so much. You know, you really are an inspiration, Easton. I know maybe you don't look at yourself that way because you're a very humble kid, but I do. I mean, I've been really edified today listening to your wise words at such a young age and what you've been through and how you've handled it overall. It truly is something that I can look up to personally. And I know anyone listening to your story right now and my listeners, I mean, how lucky are we? We got to hear Easton today.
Huh.
How cool is that? So thank you for being who you are. I'm grateful for your family and for your examples. And I appreciate all that you're doing to try to make this world a better place.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that you're doing incredible things with this platform, and
thank
a lot
you.
Of people are going to be helped by all the stories that you're sharing. So I appreciate you allowing me to share mine.
Absolutely. If someone wanted to reach out to you, Easton, and just, you know, maybe follow you or get to know you better, is there a way they could do that?
Yeah. So Easton Creed is my Instagram, and I'm trying to get better at responding to DMs. So
yeah.
If you reach out to me there, I'll hit you back.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes so they have that, and they can just click right to it. But I would recommend anyone out there who's struggling with anything to reach out to Easton. He's very wise. He knows a lot, and he can give you some good advice. And it's always nice to talk to someone who has been through something in such a way as you. Like, you know what? Because I know what you're going to say is going to be authentic and real, and it's something that would benefit me. So anyone out there who's struggling, please reach out to Easton and give him a shout out and ask him for any kind of help, if that's okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk to you guys. Happy to help.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Easton Allred, guys. What a wonderful interview. What a great feeling I've had in this studio today with you. Please reach out to him. Thanks again for tuning in. I love you guys. Your support means the world to me. Again, thanks to my sponsors. I did fail to mention the music you heard at the beginning, at the end of this podcast, is by my good friend Paul Cardall. He's an amazing man, award-winning pianist, and just he's got a story of his own too. But thank you so much, Paul. And Easton, one last thank you. Thanks for all you do. I'll be supporting you and cheering you on from this point forward, so I hope you know that.
Thank you much.
All right. There you go. Everyone, love you guys. Till next time.